There is what's called the lectionary. I bet you've heard that term before, and it's divided into three cycles or 3 years. It's kind of a guide for pastors to preach through, in a sense, different gospels. 1 year, it focuses on Mark, another on Matthew, another on Luke. But oftentimes, when it comes to the season of Eastertide, the gospel that gets left out of that three-year cycle is the Gospel of John, and this is where they tend to insert John, typically. And so during Eastertide, which is what we find ourselves in now, you will be hearing, and we will be using texts from the Gospel of John. And I know you will today, and at least a couple times more that I will be with you. So from the Gospel of John, who is a gospel not to be forgotten. Okay. From the Gospel of John, 10th chapter, 1 through 10. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. And the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. And then there is that wonderful passage of Scripture. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear God, give us open ears, open mind, open heart, that we might hear your voice, the voice of the shepherd, and that we may enter in through the true gate into the life abundant and life eternal. Be with us in this endeavor, O God. Amen. I'll begin with a question. Can you think of some voices that are so distinct that you can recognize them right away? When I think of celebrity voices, some that come to mind, one of them is James Earl Jones. You know, has that wonderful deep bass voice. I mean, you can recognize it right away. Started thinking, and I thought about John Wayne's. Was pretty recognizable there. Little buckaroo. One that's not so pleasant, but that you could pick out, was Pee Wee Herman, and I'm not going to try to do that one. But you knew who it was. I think of kind of Donald Sutherland being down here in the midst of citrus country, and he does some commercials about orange juice, and his voice is fairly recognizable. And I think about Maya Angelou and her smooth, silky voice, especially when she reads some of her poems. And of course, there are the voices of friends and family, where you probably don't even need caller ID. You pick it up, they say one word, you know who it is. So some voices are distinctive, and we recognize them right away. Well, today's passage, in part, is about voices. But it is embedded in one of the I am sayings of Jesus. Did you know that those I am sayings all come from the Gospel of John? And did you know that there are seven of them? Little review. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. But what's that last one? Well, it's in our scripture today. When Jesus says, I am the gate. And in fact, this may be the least known and easily forgettable of the seven I am sayings. So today, the challenge before me is to lift up this Rodney Dangerfield I am saying, which gets no respect, and put it in its rightful place of memory and meaning for us. Let me frame this sermon around three images that are found in this text, namely the gate, the voice, and abundant life. The first is that Jesus said, I am the gate. He is saying that he is an entrance, a doorway, an entry into a different and a fuller life. One of my favorite stories has to do with three men's clothier stores that were side by side. And as you might expect, they were always in competition with one another, trying to take business from the other two. Well, one day, the owner of the clothier store on the right decided to put a sign outside his door. And so over the door, he put everything 25% off. Well, the guy on the left side, not to be outdone, put a great big sign and said, everything 50% off. Well, and the guy in the middle was kind of in a crunch and wondering, how in the world do I respond to that? So he gave it some thought, and finally he came up with an idea, and he put a sign over his doorway that read, Entrance. Knowing where the door, the entrance, the gate is very important. But perhaps what's more important is knowing what's beyond that gate. Or that door. Does Jesus as the gate give us 25% off or 50% off? Or does he take us into something more and deeper? For a moment, I want you to contemplate or consider what entering the door of your house leads to. Imagine you are standing outside on the doorstep. What does it mean for you to cross over and go through that door in your house? Does it not lead to protection, care, and security? Does it not lead to warmth and shelter and provision? Does it not lead to a place of rest and healing and peace? Does it not lead to a place of love? Cynthia and I just returned on Wednesday from Montana. We were gone for a week. We were out, and I officiated at a wedding for the son of some good friends. And we had a marvelous time. Montana is my home state. And so it was good to be back in the mountains. And yes, we saw snow, four-letter word. But I have to tell you, when we got home and we walked through our door, wow, did that feel good. It's wonderful coming home. Does the door to your home not give you that same feeling? Well, if your home's entrance provides access to all of this, how much more does Jesus as the true gate lead to the same thing and even more? When Jesus says, "I am the gate," he is giving us good news that in and through and with him, we are given an abundance of gifts of warmth and care and peace and love. And it is a door no other one can provide. Second feature of this passage revolves around the concept of the voice. Now, I have to say that I know very little about shepherding. It's out of my wheelhouse, as they say. I come from Montana, and you know out there, cattle is king. But I'm led to understand that in biblical times, when a shepherd brought his flock in from the land, from being out and about in the field, that everyone came and put their sheep in the same place, in a huge bin. And it just, they did that because it simply wasn't feasible for every person to have their own individual pen. And so all the sheep are thrown together into one big holding area, which raises the question, how then were they separated when they were brought out? And the answer to that, we are told from those biblical records and experts, it all had to do with the shepherd's voice, either by tone or by distinctive call or by voice. Every shepherd's voice was different. It was distinct. And so when the shepherd wanted to bring them out, he gave that call to the sheep. They knew it, and if it was their shepherd, they came out and they went with that person who they knew would lead them in safe places. But it all had to do with the distinctive voice of each shepherd. Now, knowing that, doesn't that really begin to tie that passage together? In today's world, there are many voices screaming at us. There are voices of consumerism telling us to buy this, buy that. There are voices of division and exclusion. There are voices of greed, and there are voices of taking care of me first. There are voices of fear and insecurity. And there are voices of hate and oppression. Voices abound in our world. So in the midst of all those voices, how do we hear or train ourselves to hear the shepherd's voice? Well, if you want to train your ear, kind of like a musician, if you want to train your ear, it seems to me one needs to immerse themselves in the place where the voice can be heard. And those are fairly clear to us. We hear the shepherd's voice out of Scripture. We hear it out of prayer. The shepherd's voice can be heard in a faith community. It can be heard from wise friends. It can be heard from compassionate people. Shepherd's voice can be heard from spiritual mentors and from good books. I understand, I think I've got this right, or at least Dick seemed to insinuate or hint that perhaps he did something of a series on people whom he had heard that shaped him, that in a sense allowed him to hear the Good Shepherd's voice. What a great exercise for all of us to do is to think about all the voices that have enabled us to hear the Good Shepherd's voice. Has it been a pastor? Has it been a parent, a grandparent, a friend, a youth worker, a particular Christian author? When I think about some of those people in my life, I give thanks for them. I give thanks for the wisdom they imparted to enable me to hear the Good Shepherd's voice. And it also spurs me then to try and at least in some part be a voice that allows others to hear that particular voice. It's no easy thing to hear the shepherd's voice with all the other voices that are raging for our attention today. And so if we are to pass through the door, the gate, we must work at hearing the voice that will lead us, as the psalmist said, to green pastures and to still waters. And that takes me to the last theme of our passage, which is that last line, "I have come that you might have life and have it in all its fullness." Different translations as in it to its full, some say in all its fullness. It's a text alone that has perhaps made the Gospel of John a beloved and the favorite gospel of many. I know it was my mom's favorite gospel to read. And the latter part of this 10th verse, it is a beautiful assurance and a wonderful promise. But I also believe we need to understand what we are being assured of and what we are being promised. It seems to me that if we believe this abundant life, and that's a big word and a big concept, that if we believe this abundant life means we are going to be pain-free, trouble-free, stress-free, crisis-free, problem-free, if we believe this is the kind of abundant life we're going to be handed to on a silver platter, I believe we will be sadly disappointed. It certainly was not the life that Jesus lived. No, we know that life is not to be lived in a bubble set aside from all the world's challenges, though at times I certainly wish it could be so. Sometimes I'd simply like to dig a hole and pull the turf over on top of me and hide me from the world. But that is not life, and that is not discipleship. Rather, we also need to remember Jesus' words when he said, "In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And we just affirmed that triumph a number of weeks ago when we opened our service, "Christ has risen, he is risen indeed." The true gate does not lead us to an uninvolved, carefree life, but one to be lived with service in the face of sacrifice, giving in the face of having less, compassion in the face of involvement. Abundant life reaches out and it carries us into the world. But it is also most certainly a kind of life that allows us to live peace in the face of loss, healing in the face of brokenness, joy in the face of struggle, and life even in the face of death. Jesus promised, "I have come that you might have life and have it in its abundance." And when he says that, he is saying to us, wherever I call you and send you, wherever whatever you have to face, I will walk with you, I will take you by the hand, and I will never let you go. You know the commercial. It's the one that says, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Let us hear the voice of the one who takes us unto himself and gives us life in all its fullness, in abundance and eternal life. May it be so for us. And thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, in the midst of all the voices we hear today, help us to immerse ourselves and train ourselves so that we might hear your voice, a voice of love and compassion and grace and peace and hope. We are your people. We are your disciples. So take us, transform us, and then send us into the world so that we might also offer up abundant life for all people. Use us always to your work and your glory. Amen.